So I'm going to be talking about the demand side of piracy, what happens when the content's already out there and how it gets to people. For those who aren't familiar with Movie Labs, we're a nonprofit joint venture of the five major studios. Our mission is to advance technology in the industry, which is a pretty broad charter. I want to make a disclaimer up front. I'll be talking about various technologies. Some could be considered good, some could be considered evil. My goal is not to tell you which one I think is which. So this is kind of neutral in terms of which technology or which, or how they're going to be used. Before talking about the future, it's worthwhile to talk about the past. So there's been a kind of an evolution of technology. At the beginning, we had physical piracy. From the stone tablet side, you can see that they're maybe hard to distribute, certainly hard to copy. As we got into VHS and other physical media, the distribution was hard, but the monetization was easy. You could sell it and get some money for it and move on. Over time, as you can see in the bold, where the technology may have developed, there were also countermeasures that made it difficult. So for example, with VHS, analog copy protection made it impractical for a home user to copy content, although it could still be done professionally. With discs, casual replication was hard, but once it got to professional replication, then it was kind of a massive thing. Then we moved on to digital distribution. Now, early P2P was easy to copy casually. It was kind of, you know, user-friendly. It was a little bit nerdy, but it was doable. But interdiction was feasible, and actually I worked on systems that did that. And you could flood so many fake events and so much fake content and so forth that it was really impractical to use at some point. And these P2P networks kept on evolving until ultimately we got to what I'm calling advanced P2P, which is, you know, more like BitTorrent, all that stuff. P2P is a lot of different things. But the one flaw from a pirate standpoint is that P2P is not anonymous. You can at some point track who's doing it, and that gives certain options. Finally, we're into the great world of streaming, and the user experience is great, but there are still technical and legal interdiction strategies going beyond. So let's take a hypothetical example, which is either great or horrible, depending on your perspective. User experience matters. It has to be something where people can get on, find their content, have a great discovery experience. It has to work on 10-foot. You know, it's no good if it's just in the laptop, because people really want to watch in the living room, or they might want to watch on a mobile device. That means you have to have, you know, websites and plugins and app integration and software developed in a practical way for illicit software. You have to have anonymous developers and the ability to collaborate without detection. Metadata is important, again, especially for the user experience, but it can't just be, you know, random metadata. It needs to be crowdsourced. It needs to have curators picking good content and so forth, and they need to be anonymous and trusted. And most of all, you know, from a user experience, it has to be good streaming. You know, bad stuttering streams and all that just doesn't cut it, just like any other streaming service. Payment's a really important part of this. If you're going to host a piracy site, you want to monetize it. And for anyone who has the misconception that pirate sites are not monetized, trust me, they are. People are making a lot of money on it. And technologies like cryptocurrencies make it a lot easier to monetize without easy detection. And finally, participants want to be anonymous. They don't want to advertise the fact that they're stealing content. They just want to do it out in the dark somewhere. So how do we move in that direction? So there's some developments that are happening. IPv6 is kind of an interesting one. Now, someone asked me, you know, is 2 to the 128th a big number? So I did a little math, and it turns out that that's enough to individually address every water molecule in about 3 cubic miles of water. So it's a big number. So what does that do? It makes things like geofiltering more challenging, because things might be scattered more homogeneously around the world. And it makes it harder to isolate bad players, because people might be moving around, you know, more frequently and, you know, coming and going. There's another major initiative. This has nothing to do with piracy, but it's encrypting the web. People are working hard to make sure that all your transactions are private, that you can contact a server, you can exchange data, and nobody knows what you're doing. Well, that's great from a privacy standpoint, not so good from a detecting piracy standpoint. So for example, like with SNI, you can connect to a server that's serving up multiple hosts, multiple services, and then with SNI being encrypted, we can't tell which one of those services is accessing. If DNS is encrypted, again, you can't even tell where they're going other than an IP address. So it makes it increasingly difficult to trace activity. VPNs are also, I won't say they're growing that much, but they're certainly a tool that allows you to get around some of the geolocation, other tools that people use to limit who they're, limit access to their content. So we see some anecdotal evidence that it's not growing that tremendously, but we do also see 30% penetration in some territories. AI. Well, you can't have a presentation like this without talking about AI and machine learning. So it's going to fill in some of the roles where people do things, like people filter, they look for fakes, they look for comments that are generated by bots and so forth. So we're into this measure, counter-measure kind of world with AI, or likely will be, you know, sort of the bot versus bot wars in anti-piracy. Cryptocurrencies are also very important, and, you know, part of a larger blockchain question, but specifically cryptocurrencies are nice for monetization. They allow some degree of anonymity, not complete anonymity, but enough for most people. You can do micropayments with them, and that's important for, you know, transactions where people aren't willing to pay a lot of money. And there's also this kind of new development of automated contracts where you can, as part of a transaction with no one else getting involved, in a very secure way, execute a contract. So I download the content, the contract is executed, my Bitcoin gets deducted. So the tools for doing this are useful in many applications are becoming available to people who want to monetize legal distribution. Cloud storage is always an interesting area. That's where the content goes. So as the cloud evolves, so does content in the cloud. Currently, when we have UGC sites, we can do countermeasures through takedowns and automatic contact recognition depending on how cooperative the site is. Most of them are, at least in some territories. When we can look at content in various places, we can send, we can have automated tools to search and send automated takedown notices. And when a site is really truly a bad player and there's some agreement on it, in some territories you can do site blocking, which is the ultimate way of denying access to a site. But now there's move to, again, along the lines of encryption, you encrypt the content and put it on the site, and nobody, including the site, even knows what's on there. It's just a bunch of random bits, which makes it a little bit harder to do the sort of takedown notices and so forth. But the good news is that the content is useless unless you get the keys out. So the keys have to be available in some public way, so there's things to be dealt with there. But, you know, the other sort of factor in all this is that, you know, poor cloud experience creates pressure on a better improving P2P and vice versa. So as one or the other becomes, you know, less usable for some reason or another, we can see a shift in the usage and development. And a very important factor, and I've heard the term trust mentioned a couple of times today, and I'm sure it'll be mentioned many other times today, but a good system, you have to trust in someone or something, because there's really no way to find good content just by, you know, random access to people. So there's various ways of generating reputation. You can establish a stake in something, so there's do some work and sort of earn the trust. And then there's algorithms. This thing looks like a bot, so I'm not going to trust it. So there's a lot of research in this area because trust is an important topic in general. And things like proof of work, proof of stake, which you see in cryptocurrencies and blockchain are a factor. Proof of storage, you know, if you donate some storage, you get back some rights for it. There's also, BitTorrent has been doing a sort of distributed trust model for a while. And then there's ways to develop, you know, sort of, develop a reputation based on your activity. So for example, you upload things, just like the proof of storage, you upload certain amount, you get back a certain amount. That concept's been around for a while. Now, before I sort of jump into concluding remarks, I just want to point out that we live in very good times, that even, and this is not a comprehensive list, but even though there's a lot of talk about piracy and so forth, the great offerings that are offered by probably a lot of companies around NAB this week are just terrific, and there's a lot of options. And hopefully, this part is editorial. Hopefully, fewer people will be going to piracy sites, and more people will be taking advantage of these excellent services that are offered out there. So I don't want my presentation to be entirely doom and gloom. So to summarize, improved user experience makes illicit systems more attractive, also makes legitimate systems more attractive. Increased use of the various technologies I've talked about does make the whole job more challenging. It is there's a bit of a whack-a-mole kind of game, and there is for those who remember from Mad Magazine, spy versus spy kind of activity that goes on with all this. AI machine learning has the potential to automate a lot of the both good and bad things that can happen we've talked about deepfakes and so forth. It's the same kind of idea where one party does something and another party does something. And finally, monetization is a major incentive for people to do this. So cryptocurrencies and smart contracts enable illicit sites to monetize their work. Thank you.
Excellent. Thank you so much, Craig.